Back together again, you and I wrapping up a very busy week, Friday, September 23rd, 2022, right here on Connecticut. Today, we took a look at the aftermath of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' move to send a group of migrants to Martha's Vineyard. SEMA head Chris Herb talked about the recent controversy over the use of heat pumps in Connecticut, and will they be mandatory in the future? Just a confused nation, a confused country, because on some things, folks, we have no idea what we want. And boy, I got to tell you, again, kudos. I will say it over and over and over and over and over again. Kudos to these Southern governors, these Republican governors, Doug Ducey, Ron DeSantis, and Greg Abbott in Texas. Not because I hate immigrants or I hate brown people or I hate anybody who's not a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant or an Italian or an Irishman. No. But what is going on now with these migrants that were sent to Martha's Vineyard? Look, a lot of people don't want to admit it, but I will. That gave America a really good kick in the ass. When it comes to immigration, it did, because I'm reading stuff today and, you know, writing down stuff in my stack of stuff that we'll get to on a busy Friday show as we have a little fun heading toward the weekend. You know, I'm looking at two and a half, 3 hours I'm in front of the computer screens today, just reading, soaking in, texting people. What do you think of this? You know, what do you think of that? And man, the reverberations, I guess, would be the word, right? The reverberations from what Ron DeSantis did, this guy's an operator. He understands it. He gets it. And you can just tell how much he gets it by looking at the responses it's elicited. You know, here in the media business, in the talk radio business, and the talk television business, any form of entertainment that's personality driven, that's driven by ideas. Consultants in this business say the worst thing you can elicit out of a person if they ask you, hey, what do you think of Paul Pacelli? What do you think of Joe Aguirre? What do you think of Norm Pattis? Blah, 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 blah. What do you think of Ben Shapiro? The worst thing you can have is, whatever. Yeah, maybe. Theron, I'll listen. No. What you want is, God, I love him, or I love her, or geez, I can't stand him. Or, my God, I listened to her for a few minutes once. I almost tossed my lunch. You know what I mean? You look for, you know you're a success in the media business, per se. And I think it's best, you know, quantified and personified here in radio. You know you're a success if your name is mentioned or your show is mentioned or whatever, and people say, oh, yeah, I listen to him or I listen to her. He's really good. Boy, that Norm Pattis or that Joe Aguirre or Ben Shapiro or whatever. I agree with him or her. Oh, geez, I can't stand him or her. Ron DeSantis is doing that right now in politics with the immigration thing. He is. He's put that out there because we were lulled to sleep. This is the kind of thing where it's almost like you're trying to wake somebody up in the morning. Hey, get up. Get up. It's time. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Come on. We got to go to school. Well, that sleeping kid, that sleeping teen, that sleeping adolescent there is what America was and still is when it comes to the immigration issue. And thank you, Ron DeSantis. Thank you, Doug Ducey. Thank you, Greg Abbott. Even if you don't like what they did, even if you don't like the fact that 50 migrants were flown to, my God, what a hellhole, Martha's Vineyard. Can you clean my flower beds, please, while you're here, before we ship you off to an army base? Even if you don't like that, even if you don't like what happened in particular, when you get down to the micro part of it, even if you don't like that, if you don't like the micro, you gotta like the macro. You have to like what has happened here. Because, good Lord, did this give America a kick in the backside that it needed on this? And it gave America such a kick in the backside. So such a, or as my father used to say, my dearly departed Italian father, a good boot in the ass, as my father used to say. Hey, let's go, Junior. I'm going to get a good boot. You know where. You know where. It's done that so much that now people are completely confused. Right? You know, when you wake up during the night, maybe you live in a building like mine where there's a fire alarm every so often, 2-3 in the morning, where you're sitting there and you're, you know, tossing and turning and whatever, and all of a sudden you hear something, something falls, cat or a dog knocks something down, and you go, huh, what was that? Oh, it was a thing that fell there. Oh, well, that's happening right now with politics, in particular with immigration. And I will submit to you that what Ron DeSantis did is one of the top five or top 10 shrewdest political moves ever. I mean, ever since the start of this whole thing of America, couple hundred years ago plus. You're crazy, Paul. I am. What do you think? 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Was what Ron DeSantis did and what Greg Abbott does and what Doug Ducey does, and by the way, they're not backing down. They're going to continue to send these migrants to northern areas because they've said enough is enough is enough. Can you be sympathetic to migrants who seek asylum and cross the border and yet say it was a good thing that this happened with the whole Martha's Vineyard scenario and all this? Or are you one of those people, and maybe you are, you can let me know, we're not going to jump on you here, we'll have a discussion on this. Are you a member of the significant portion of America, and I've got some fresh numbers coming up about this, but there's a significant part of America that hates what DeSantis did, that loves what he did, and have no idea, like, what do we do now? So are you seething? Are you angry at the fact that, you know, you think these migrants are being used as pawns, being shipped north, shipped west and whatever? Or are you saying, well, listen, if this is what it takes to get people to wake up here, that's a good thing. Where do you fall on that? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And notice, too, nobody has floated a solution yet. And I know the White House comes out and they say, well, comprehensive immigration reform and a path to citizenship. Come on, stop that. That's been out there for 20 years. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's just not. But in the short term, what do we do? And how do you feel about what Ron DeSantis and Doug Ducey and Greg Abbott are doing? And probably more southern governors would do it because they are inundated with people. See, I think, and you can disagree with me, I think this is one of the greatest strategic moves ever in the history of American politics. Because all it took, think about this, folks, all it took was 50 people. He didn't ship hundreds or thousands anywhere. I don't know how these people were selected, whatever paperwork they had. 50. Not even the size of a National Football League active roster on game day like we'll see this coming Sunday. NFL teams hit the field with 53 active men on a Sunday. This was 50. And it was a political bomb, and it's made us confront the topic again, and made us confront the fact that we don't know what the hell we're doing with this. Ron DeSantis, thumbs up or thumbs down? First, though, our buddy, our pal Chris Herb is here from SEMA, the Connecticut Energy Marketers Association. And this popped up a few months ago, pressures by the feds and by the state government to tell people which way to go, how to heat their homes, how to keep them warm during the winter months. And the subject of heat pumps has come up, which is a different technology, but this has become a real hot potato. So we want to, and a lot of people are kind of talking out of both sides of their mouths on this. So Chris Herb joins us. Hey, Chris, it's Paul. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Good.
What is what's the deal with this now? Because I know there have been some hearings, and you and I talked about this a couple of times a few months back. You know, part of the energy industry is on heat pumps, and part isn't. And you have the environmentalists talking out of both the sides of their mouths. Explain what a heat pump is, Chris, and why has this become such a hot topic? No pun intended.
Sure. So heat pumps are another form of a way to heat your house. You know, most of Connecticut heats with oil and natural gas. And this is a form of electric heat. You know, the old electric heat that we were afraid of in the 70s and 80s being the most expensive form of electricity remains true, except the technology has made a bit of a step forward. So it's basically, you see them typically in doctor's offices, but they're these little bump outs that are sort of in the room that take the warmth out of the air outside of your house, and they pull it into the house. So it's just a new way to sort of heat your house. And like you said, that technology's come quite a ways. And now the state is saying that that's the only way. They want to take away your natural gas. They want to take away your propane. They want to take away your bioheat and your heating oil. And they want you to heat with electricity now.
And yeah, you're right, because I remember, you know, what's old is new and what's new is old here, Chris. You know, I remember, you know, I'm old, but I'm not that old. It wasn't that long ago where everybody was, you know, walking away from these from electric heat, from electric baseboards and stuff like this. And like you said, going with, you know, oil, or I remember the marketing of how clean natural gas was. What's going on here, Chris? Explain what the dynamics are.
Paul, it's laughable. So in the 60s and 70s, the government told people that electricity was too cheap to meter and they should build electric homes and everyone should live in them. And then electricity became immensely expensive, the most expensive form of energy. Then the government said, you know what? You should all switch to natural gas. Natural gas is cleaner. It's cheaper. It's more reliable. That was about a decade ago, 15 years ago. And what's happened since then? Natural gas prices took off. It became a very expensive form of heating. And the government told us that that was our only option. And now, this time, they're going about it different. They're back to the future, right? We're back to electric heat. But this time, they're saying they want to make it illegal to heat with those other fuels. They want to take those options away. They want to provide one option, this option. And I don't understand how they arrive at the conclusion that this is a good energy policy for Connecticut, since they were wrong the last two times they tried to pick what we should heat with.
All right, talking about heat pumps and natural gas and oil, about how the jousting is continuing between politicians and the industries and what energy policy is going to be here in the future and in some part here in Connecticut. Chris Herb joins us from SEMA, the Connecticut Energy Marketers Association, representing the hardworking oil and natural gas companies here throughout the state. So, Chris, what has been going on, because people may not realize this, with the General Assembly not getting back into session until after the year turns to 2023 and the elections? What's been going on in Hartford with this over the past couple of days?
Sure. So the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection is conducting comprehensive energy strategy technical hearings where they've asked experts to come in and help guide them in determining what the energy future of Connecticut should look like. And I will tell you, it's being done through the lens of carbon dioxide reductions, greenhouse gas reductions. So part of this conversation isn't just about the type of equipment you'd use to heat your home or about the fuels that you would use to heat your home. It's also about the actual materials that's used to build your home. Today, we heard that Big Brother has taken an inventory of every house in the state of Connecticut. They're keeping track of what kind of fuel you're using, the materials that they used to build your house, and now they're gonna calculate what the carbon intensity of your house is, so that they can use the lowest and require the lowest carbon intense materials to be used to build houses in the future, or to build an addition, or to switch out your windows. And you know, if you think we have a housing crisis right now, this map may be the most expensive and dangerous thing to the housing market. So they're going to judge your fuel. They're going to judge the concrete that you use, the asphalt, the shingles, your windows. I mean, this stuff, if the public isn't involved, and I know we're all at work and school during the day, But they're having these hearings, and they're going to be moving forward with a plan early next year, and it's going to cost every one of your listeners.
You know, Chris, and Chris Herb is the guest from SEMA. Chris, when this new push now for electricity, and I understand that, you know, I don't agree with them, but some of them say, hey, we got to get away from fossil fuels. Okay, that can be debated. But there seems, Chris, to me, whether it's the heat pumps, whether it's electric cars, electric this, electric that. Listen, electricity is fine. It was one of the two or three, you know, probably most influential, you know, developments and discoveries, if you will, in the history of man. But you have to generate it somehow. And whether it's electric cars or these heat pumps, it just seems to me, Chris, that this is a classic case of putting the cart ahead of numerous horses here, where we barely have, in some parts of the country, enough electricity and the grid well enough to take care of basic stuff right now.
Well, you know, I think you're right. Our position has been on this, that it's going to take all energy sources to meet people's needs. We believe in choice. We believe in competition. We don't believe in the government dictating that electricity is the only option. We know that the less options there are means less competition, which means higher prices. Let all of the energy options be available to the public. They're the ones who should make those choices, not not the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection or your legislator or the governor. Homeowners should. People who live in these communities should. And that's why we're trying to raise awareness, and we appreciate you getting the word out on this, is that it's time to pay attention, or you're going to pay a lot more for your fuel, and you're going to pay a lot more for your house in the future.
And Chris, your organization sent me a tweet, which I saw was interesting, or a social media post. This comes from a lady, Melissa Copps, with the U.S. Green Building Council, the Connecticut chapter. She had some interesting testimony on this the other day. What did she say?
Yeah, I mean, basically, they're coming at this from the standpoint that that they're, again, going to dictate to the public exactly what materials you can use, what your fuels are going to be. And, you know, I don't know if most people understand that these environmental elites are now in control and are trying to take control of your future. And that's why we're trying to raise awareness about that.
Yeah, she mentioned things here like frozen pipes, structural issues, mold. That can't be good. I've dealt with that. Bad air quality. So this is, you know, none of these suggestions, Chris Herb, are complete panaceas. There are, like you say, issues that every homeowner has to look for.
Certainly. You know, and I think that one of the things that is refreshing is that there has been an honest conversation about the limitations. Nobody's against heat pumps, by the way. They make really good space heaters, really good air conditioning for certain parts of your house. It's whole home use of electric heat pumps is what we're concerned about. Our contractors that we represent just tell us that it is not a good option. It's expensive. It costs $20,000 to $40,000 to convert. The state keeps saying there's all this billions of dollars of federal money. Well, we did the math. That federal money, if it's spread evenly, you're talking about less than 0.5% of the homes in Connecticut will even get the rebates. So, you know what? The limitations that are out there with these things, the exposure that it has to potential frozen pipes and things like that, you better make sure you're dealing with a really good contractor who's telling you the truth to make sure that you protect your home from potential damage.
The website, CTEMA.com, CTEMA.com, SEMA, the Connecticut Energy Marketers Association. Chris Herb, thank you. We'll talk down the road, my friend. Take care.
You too. Have a good one.
All right, there you go. Chris Herb there talking about, you know, the, you know, talks, interesting, going on right now. Even though the legislature is not in session, again, he warned us that, like I've been saying, after the elections and once we turn the corner, goodbye 2022, hello 2023, here comes stuff about how you can build your house, here comes other stuff. Tolls are definitely coming back. I know no people will say that, but they are. And watch the lunacy about maybe getting rid of no cash bail. Telling you.